السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاۃ والسلام علی سیدنا المصطفی صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. قال اللہ تبارک وتعالی: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama-i kiram, most respected brothers and our sisters listening over receivers, when we are told to enter into the fold of Islam completely, then it means in all departments of life, in all avenues, in all aspects, not only in namaz, not only in roza, zakat and hajj. Islam is a complete way of life, and shariat and the Quran and Sunnah has given guidance with regards to every aspect of human life. The life of a believer, whether he is a judge, whether he is a king, whether he is a ruler, whether he is an ordinary citizen, whether he is a poor person or a rich person, whatever he may be, there are rules, there are regulations, and there are guidelines. If we have to look at the rule and the government of the Muslims in different parts of the world, in the time of the Khulafa-i Rashideen, the righteous Khulafas of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and then we compare it to our elections and our selections and our nominations, then we will find a world of difference. It's like the East and the West. We all know that we have gone through the election period, and many things were said about how a Muslim should use his vote, who he should be voting for. Many, many articles appeared, many publications discussed these issues in detail. Many programs on radio stations must have taken place. We also discussed it in our majalis. But now those days are over. The election days are over. Now it's going to be the days of what they term as delivery. And we all are well aware of what kind of delivery we must expect. So in the light of whatever has happened, I wish to bring to your attention today just one incident, just one. But this is not an isolated incident. This was virtually the habit and the practice of all the governors of the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. From the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if we have to look at the khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, then you will find so many incidents of how they lived on bare necessities, but there was no question of trying to take as much as possible from the government treasury. In fact, they were willing to give everything that even they owned for the sake of the people, than that they should be stealing and snatching and taking from the government treasury. Now, those incidents are plentiful. You have been listening to many of them on different occasions from different speakers. But we go now to the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, because that was the time when the Muslims spread through far and distant lands. Many, many countries came under the control of the Muslim Ummah. Success and victory was kissing the feet of the Muslims wherever they were going. It was because of their bravery, their courage, their strength of iman, their wonderful akhlaq and character, their dealings with people, their honesty in their trade, in their relationship with others. So because of this, people were coming into the fold of Islam. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was now ruling over more than two-thirds of the then known world. Now at that time, when Sham or Syria was no more, not Syria of the what we know today, so those two powerful empires, one side was the Roman Empire, one side was the Persian Empire, everything was falling at their feet. So at that time, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to be very, very firm and very strict and very particular about who he appoints as governors in those countries. The governors of those cities, of those countries, he was very, very careful and concerned. And not that after appointment, then he just left them to do whatever they wish to. He was following it up all the time. What are they doing? How are they behaving? Are there any complaints about these governors? And he dealt with it personally, in spite of ruling over such vast territories. Therefore, I always say that those who say Islam stifles progress, it's absolute nonsense. Islam doesn't stifle progress. You can reach the highest position in the land. But what Islam says is that first you must be a good Muslim. You must be a good mu'min, a true believer in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, so that when you are given that post and position, then you will rule according to the Quran and Sunnah and deserve Allah ta'ala's mercy, blessings in this world and in the hereafter. Of course, in different lands in these days, we have different kinds of governments and different kinds of constitutions, and we don't say that we must be isolated, we must work. But look at this incident. Now, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he used to ask for lists of people who are poor and needy, destitute, deserving of help. So from these areas where he had appointed his governors, he used to ask people who were in authority, or those people who were people of respect and good reputation, and they themselves, alhamdulillah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had blessed them with sufficiency. So he should ask them to send over lists to him of people in that country or in that city or in those towns who were poor, needy and deserving. And he used to go through the list himself. A person of that position is ruling over such vast territory, and he's got so much of delegations that are coming and so many countries where the army is moving. But yet he's got the time now, he's checking through that list. And he inquires from the people that come from those areas that who are these people? Are they truly deserving? Now once, while he was looking at that list, he looks and he sees the name in that list of Hazrat Sa'id bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala. Now when he saw the name of Hazrat Sa'id bin Amir, so he asked these people that who is this person? He knew now who this person. He said, who is this person? He says, he's the governor of our country. He's the governor of our state. Said, he's the governor of your state, then how his name comes in this list of poor and needy? He said, yes, he's very, very poor. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala began tearing. Because he knew that this person is a governor appointed by him, and he was allowed to take a certain amount from the government treasury and live a reasonably good life. So how can his name come in the list of the poor and needy? So Umar radiallahu ta'ala gave 1,000 dinars and he said, take this and give it to him. After some time, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala himself made a trip that was Hims, which was at that time the little Kufa it was called. Now when he came there, he wanted to know what is the condition of this person. Why he being a governor, his name came in this list of poor and needy. So in the meantime, when this money came over, before Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala came, that this 1,000 dinars that he sent, gold coins, so Hazrat Sa'id bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala, he became very, very worried. And he was pacing up and down the house as if something very serious has happened. So his wife is asking him, has the army been defeated somewhere? Or has the Amirul Mu'mineen passed away? What is it that you receive some message from there, from Madina Sharif, and straight away you are so worried and so concerned? He said, no, serious fitna has entered my home. Fitna has entered my home. Now she was even more concerned than what is this fitna that has entered his home. There's no fitna. He said, I think my akhirat is being given to me here. Now that money that came, he's saying it seems as if my akhirat, my hereafter, Allah Ta'ala is giving it to me here. So therefore, he asked her, will you assist me and help me in getting out of this fitna? She said, yes, but she did not know what he was really referring to. She said, well then take this 1,000 dinars and go and distribute it to the poor, the needy, the destitute, the masakin, and the yatama, give it away to them. So he was again in the same condition. And those people, when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala asked, that why do you say that he is poor and needy? He said, because many times we hear that in his house for many days the fire does not light. There's nothing to cook, nothing to eat. And yet he's the governor. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala now when he came over, he went to meet the people. And that was his habit, that is to ask the people of the locality now, do you have any complaints about your governors? Do you have any complaints about the rulers that rule over you? It was not a question of taking and taking and taking. In fact, I say that nowadays the posters when they put up, when they say vote for me, because I will do this, I will do that, I will do that. What should be really there is vote for me, I will build my house. Vote for me, all the potholes on the road that leads to my house will surely be repaired. And vote for me because I will surely deliver the goods that are required in my house. So this is our condition. But here Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he asks them, that do you have any complaints about this governor that I have appointed? So some people said, yes, yes, we got some complaints. He said, what are the complaints? He said, the first complaint is that in the mornings he comes out very late from the house. He comes out quite late. And then he starts. Although it was not necessary for him to straight away start after Fajr all his government work. But he says he comes out a little late. Or immediately after Fajr is gone, and then we only see him after Ishraq. I'm just giving you the explanation. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, now this was Islamic government. And this was Muslim rule. That there was no question of delaying justice. If there was a complaint, the person could openly say that this is what the governor is doing, this is what the ruler is doing. So much so that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala himself, on one occasion he said, that listen to me and obey me. So if one person stood up and said, we are not going to listen to you. I standing in front of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and saying, I'm not going to listen to you. But Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala asks him why. He says, because from the Baitul Mal, every person, when the booty came in, so everyone got one sheet, and you have got two sheets on you from that same booty that came in. And he's asking the Amirul Mu'mineen. So he said, yes, hold on then. He asked his son, Hazrat Abdullah, he said, you stand up and now you tell them, how is it that I've got a second sheet also on me? So he said, oh Umar, oh you people, one belongs to me, which I gave to him. So he had one, and the other one is mine, which I gave to my father. Amirul Mu'mineen is ruling over such vast territory. Wealth is pouring into Madina Sharif from all sides. And look at his condition. These were rulers, they were not there for fun, enjoyment and pleasure, to live it up in luxury in the 5-star and 6-star and 10-star hotels, on taxpayers' expenses, and convoys upon convoys, and everywhere else, nothing but wastage. And now that was not the lifestyle of those who were ruling under Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, or his own rule. There are so many incidents in his own life. Look at how people used to just stand up and ask him, why this? And he used to respond without any kind of anger. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he says, well, that is your first complaint, that he comes out quite late in the morning from the house. So he asked Hazrat Sa'id bin Amir, that now you respond to it, that what is your response? Why do you come out late? He says, oh Amirul Mu'mineen, I don't have any servants. My wife is sickly. So I myself, early part of the morning, I clean the house, I knead the dough, I wait for the flour to rise, Thereafter I make the bread, I prepare everything, and then I come out of the house. Now this is the governor of Homs, who was sent money also, and he was allowed to take so much from the treasury. But his concern is that the people, and therefore he's not even keeping the servant. So they asked, what else do you have to say about him? What other complaint do you have? So he said, the other complaint is this, that he does not see people at night. So Zumar radiallahu ta'ala asked him, that, what's your response to that? He said, oh Amirul Mumineen, the whole day I am busy with these people. Whole day I attend to their cases, to their problems, to their, I look to their welfare and to their needs, and I fulfill whatever the requirements are. Whole day I'm occupied in service to the creation of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So my night I spend most part of it in worshipping that Allah, in ibadat of that Allah. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala no, tears roll down his cheeks. Then he asked, and what's the third complaint you have? He said, the third complaint is this, that many times it so happens that one day in the month he doesn't come out of the house at all. So I asked him, what's your response to that? He says, because I have no servants, and that one day I take to wash my own clothes, I wait for it to dry, I sort out all that, and thereafter I put on the clothes and I come out. They said, what's the fourth complaint? Because they had four complaints. He said, the fourth complaint is this, that every now and again he goes into a, what we call, or he gets a panic attack, as we say, and he falls down unconscious. So they asked him, that what is this? Why do you fall down unconscious? What is this attack that you are getting every now and again? He says, it reminds me of the day. It reminds me of the day when Hazrat Khubayb bin Adi radiallahu ta'ala, he says, when they were going to hang him, then at that time they were taking the edge of the spears and they were nudging him. And then the person asked him, he said, oh Khubayb, atuhibbu anna Muhammadan makanaka sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Do you love, or would you like that in your place Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam should have been there? It is because of your obedience, because of your following the Prophet of Allah, that you have been arrested and you are going to be hanged. They were going to hang him, assassinate him, or whatever they were going to do. So he said, now, would you like that we hang the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and you be released, if we had to arrest him and put him there, na'uzubillah. Ah, what kind of trials they went through. But look at his response, which you may have heard many times. But it is something that stirs our hearts, strengthens our iman, that they were prepared to give their lives, but they were not prepared to compromise on the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on Islam, or on the love for Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, you are talking about Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam being put in my place. What I wish to say to you is this. Now what time is he saying it? He's saying it when he's there. He said, we will release you if you say that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam must be in your place. But he said that you are talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being in my place. But what I am saying, wallahi, I take qasam in the name of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that I do not even love anna fi ahli wa waladi wa anna Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shika bi shawkati. Said, you are talking about putting him in my place. I am not even happy that I be with my wife and my children, and just a thorn pricks Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. just that little injury that is caused by a thorn, I am not even prepared to accept that. Where are you talking about putting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this place here? This was the love. Now these were the four complaints. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala asked him for a response, and these were his responses. So what I was getting across is this, that the government in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, or the government in the time of the Khulafa'i Rashideen, was not for fun, enjoyment, pleasure at taxpayers' expenses. It was not for that. When a person said that you vote for me, in the first place they never said vote for me. They themselves were selected because of the service that they rendered to the community, because of their piety, because of their expertise, because of the skills. Then they were raised to that position. But we say that it is permissible. Like Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, اجعلني على خزائن الأرض. Appoint me over this treasury of Egypt. But then he also said, because I am Hafizun Alim. He had these two sifats and these two qualities and attributes in him. The sifat of amanat, the sifat of knowledge, and all these type of things that go with it. Trustworthiness and the expertise in that field. That honesty, the truthfulness, everything he possessed. Now here, who do we really appoint? So therefore we have to understand that these elections, they took place, it's over. But as far as the Muslim community is concerned, how long are we going to keep saying that vote for this party, that party, that party, or vote for this person, that person, that person, because he is the lesser of the two evil, or the party is the lesser of the two evil? What we have to do is from now until the next election, and this is something that we have been saying for a long, long time, that don't wait for the ulama and the muftis and the great, great scholars that they are going to take posters and banners and run around. We have so many doctors, we have so many lawyers, we have so many professors, we have so many lecturers, we have so many professional people, people of great intelligence and great learning. Now, where are all of them? So we should be grooming them for that position. There should be a grooming for that position. If we have sufficient number of people who will stand up and say that we will truly serve the community, and the community itself, looking at the character of the person, at his behavior, at his honesty, at his truthfulness, and they know that he has got sufficient wealth also, or even if he doesn't have, but he's got a deep-hearted desire to serve. There are so many people serving in different positions, in different organizations and societies. So in the same way, in this field also, there will be a lot of people who will be truly sincere and they will want to serve. Now, if we can produce a large number of such kind of people ready for those positions, then it will make it easy. Then at least the voice of Islam will be heard in the corridors of power. At this moment, we can't hear the voice of Islam in those corridors of power. If we vote in two or three Muslim people from here and there, but they do not have that kind of knowledge, they do not have that kind of trustworthiness, they are not people who have got that kind of taqwa and piety, then what will they hear in the corridors of power? Nothing. They will say, whatever you ask us to vote for, we'll vote for, because we are members of your party. So therefore, whatever you legislate, we also will say, amanna wa saddaqna, we also believe and we accept. But if you have a large number of such kind of people going into through whichever parties inside parliament and inside cabinet and other places, or inside other structures of the government, then what will happen is that then you will see Islam slowly, slowly coming into the hearts of those people that you will be dealing with. If there will be something that the person will be told that you can be making millions if you have to be a signatory in this document, the person will say, I am a Muslim. I cannot be a signatory to a document which I know is nothing but fraudulent. The person will say with confidence, he will say, even if I have to be thrown out and not voted in the next election, I don't care. But I am a Muslim and I am not going to be party to any kind of corruption and fraud and any kind of fraudulent dealings. This is what is expected. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you and the ummah at large, the tawfiq and the understanding. May Allah ta'ala remove the difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering of mankind around the globe, and especially the ummah of Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.